before Julie comes up, she's going to share the word with us this morning. I'm going to read from Haggai 1. So if you've got your Bibles, I'll be reading for NIV. Feel free to open up, or I think it will be on the screen as well. And this is called A Call to Build the House of the Lord. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. Thanks, Julie.
Sorry, Stuart. It helps to turn the microphone on. It's Ben's last day today, so I thought, what passage could I get him to read that has some really good... No. There was a few doozies in there, wasn't there? Well, 2020, what a year. And I was chatting in the office this week, and when Wendy Douglas was in here just sorting out the kitchen, and when she knew that I was doing what I was doing this morning, she gave me a gift. It's a piñata that says, good riddance 2020. So I thought, that is so apt, isn't it? But the only unfortunate part is you can't bang it like and bash it. You have to pull a cord for the lollies to drop. So it's not quite as, you know, don't get the grunt. So I thought, I have filled it with lollies though. So Jade, would you like to come and get it? And then maybe after the service, after the service, the kids can all have a play and get the lollies out. Come and grab it, come on. I know it's a bit scary coming down here, but you can do it. There are prizes inside. There you go. Well done. So yeah, 2020, what a year. So if you could put on a t-shirt just a phrase to kind of capture what 2020 has been for you, what would you say? Well, of course, there are people who have already done this for you, and they seek to profit from you liking their t-shirt and for you wanting to buy that. So let's take a look at some of these shirts. Here's the first one. I survived coronavirus 2020. So I think some people might actually buy that shirt, you know, especially if they had coronavirus this year. What about this one? I survived the great toilet paper shortage of 2020. How about that one? I still do not understand that at all. It still amazes me. Okay, what about this one? Don't stand so close to me. I love that. I think that's very clever. But this has got to be my favorite. 2020, very bad, would not recommend, would give 0 stars if I could. So I love that shirt, so maybe I'll buy that one, I don't know. But I feel like the sales for those shirts will go through the roof because I feel like we've all lived through something very extraordinary and are still living through it for a while yet, I suspect. But whenever I talk to people, there's this general sense of let's just write off 2020. Let's just put a line through it and move on. Surely next year can't be any worse. Any of you feel that way? I must admit that I do too. It has been hard and challenging and even somewhat ridiculous at times with toilet paper shortages and everything. And yet, if we just moved on without stopping for a moment to consider how we have lived and who we have been this year, I think we will miss out on something quite valuable that can actually help us in how we live and who we are in the year to come. Today, Ben read a passage from a book in the Bible that we don't often read from. And I myself haven't read from it for a long time. It's the book of Haggai. And it's a short book. It's only 2 chapters long. But it's the third last book of the Old Testament. It's one of the minor prophets. And the book was written about 538 years before Christ. And it's written to the Jewish people 18 years after they had returned from exile in Babylon. So they've been back in the promised land for 18 years. And Haggai was a prophet, which means that he spoke God's word to the people and he had a message for them. And his prophecy came at a time when the people of Judah were extremely vulnerable. They had been humbled by their exile in Babylon, hopeful in their return to the promised land, and then so discouraged by the opposition in rebuilding the temple that they had quit. They'd just thrown up their hands. They had given up. And isn't that how we feel when things don't go according to plan? Have you ever felt like just throwing up your hands and say, well, that's it. What's the point? I quit. So I felt that perhaps this could be a good passage for us to look at because I sense that at the start of this year, we had high hopes for 2020. There were lots of quotes, and I must admit, I wrote this in my journal as well. 2020, the year of seeing clearly. Did anyone write that down? Oh, if we only knew then what we know now. But COVID hit, and the year did not turn out the way we had hoped and planned. And for a lot of us, we felt really discouraged. But I believe that God has a message in this little book of Haggai for us as we close out this year before we step into 2021. So let's take a look. In verse 2, it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house." Remember, these people had been back in the promised land for how long? 18 years. And they'd said it's not time to rebuild the Lord's house. The people have declared it's not time. They've given up building. And what were they doing instead? Well, scripture says that they were building their own homes, beautiful paneled homes. There is a picture of their hearts in this. Building God's temple was not just about building a building. It was about saying as a nation that we serve the Lord. And we're devoted to him, and we want all the other nations to know who our allegiance is to. But to build something takes effort, it takes time, it takes working together in a community, all of which is hard. And sometimes, especially when there's opposition, when things don't go according to plan, it's easy to just worry about ourselves, to focus on ourselves and invest in what gives us pleasure, makes us feel good, gives us comfort. And that's what the people did. They set about building their own homes. But God interrupts them with a warning, which he says two times. I don't know whether you caught it when Ben read it. He says, give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. You see, they began well, but when opposition came, their faithfulness kind of fizzled out. And left in the weeds was God's house, overgrown due to lack of attention. I think it's quite sobering to read because as I read it, I see a reflection of present-day humanity in it. Verse 6 especially, where it says, you have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. It describes a people who are focusing on themselves, trying all of these ways to feel fulfilled, to make life work. But everything they try just doesn't seem to bring them the satisfaction that they are seeking. And isn't that a reflection of our generation? We are one of the richest generations in history. We live in excess. Our houses are getting bigger and bigger. I know when my mum and dad first built their first home, it had one living room and one bathroom and a couple of bedrooms. And that was the norm for that period of time. Now we have en-suites and media rooms and all of these things. Our houses are getting bigger. Generations ago, they had one outfit, which was their Sunday best. Now we have so many clothes that we have to build a room for them called a walk-in robe. And we could probably wear different combinations of our outfits to last a year. Food used to be just enough to help you to work through the day. It used to be plain and simple fare, meat and veg. Now we can choose from a whole range of cuisine. And I don't know about you, but after Christmas and Boxing Day, I understand the word excess, like it's amazing. We have so much food. And we can even get meals delivered to our home. We can choose from any restaurant. And yet, even with all of this excess, there is an underlying sense of dissatisfaction. Anxiety is at epic proportions. And God says to these people of long ago, give careful thought to your ways. And I think we would do well to heed this advice as well. So I want to dig out three words this morning from this passage, all starting with the letter R. I think I've arrived as a pastor now. All starting with the letter R as we head into the new year. And the first one is reflect. So to give careful thought to your ways means to consider, to pay attention to how you are living, to take a moment to stop and reflect on your life, the choices you are making, the way you are living, the person you are becoming. Because by it, you are crafting a life. You are telling others what is important to you. The Jews in the book of Haggai had gone through exile from their country, then a return which they thought was going to be smooth sailing, and then disappointment. Yet, like us, it's not just the experiences that we have that will change who we are. Let me say that again. It's not just the experiences that we have that will change who we are. I love this quote by Jan Johnson. It says, it's not the experience that brings transformation. It's our reflection on the experience. You see, we are not necessarily changed just by experiencing something, no matter how big that something is. But as we take some time to sit and reflect on it, we become aware of God's presence in it and what He is inviting us into. And we have the chance to be transformed by the Holy Spirit through it. COVID has been a difficult season. It's been a huge experience for a lot of us. But within that, there was both good and bad things. There were some blessings as well as some challenges. When things were less busy, when the world shut down, it was different, wasn't it? there were some blessings in there. But when the world started up again, a lot of us just went back to normal. And that's the danger, that even though we have experienced this thing, we won't allow it to change us. We just divert back to who we were before. Missy Higgins, who's a singer-songwriter, wrote a song about this to capture some of these thoughts as she reflected on her experiences of COVID during the Victoria lockdown. And I just love the lyrics of this song, and I want to read them to you. It says, "When the machines start up again, will I be chasing every car? When the machines start up again, will I continue outrunning my heart? When the machine starts up again, will I be spinning all the plates, dancing in the mirrors, clicking all the bait? When the machine starts, will you remind me I saw the truth once? I saw it floating in the air. When the machine starts up again, will I be snapping at its wheels, drinking down the voices, oh, and buying books on how to feel? When the machine starts up again, will I forget what it was like to be standing here looking up, drinking in the sky? Oh, don't let me forget. Don't let me forget. When the lockdown ends and the speed is picking up, will you remind me what it felt like just to stop?" You know, it's so easy to just drift back into what we are comfortable with, even after experiencing something profound. It's like we have a default within us that turns us towards ourselves. It's so easy to become self-absorbed, and we begin to drift. And as D.A. Carson says, people do not drift towards holiness. That's a beautiful quote. People do not drift towards holiness. We actually drift away from God. And that's what had happened to the people in the book of the people of Judah in Haggai. The effort it took for them to live in devotion to God was too much. And as soon as opposition came, they were discouraged and they drifted back to focusing on themselves, to building their own homes. And God interrupts them and he says, "Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought. Take some time to reflect." The dictionary says to reflect is to give back, to show an image of. I went to New Zealand a number of years ago, and down in the South Island, there's some lakes called Mirror Lakes. And the sign is reflected the right way around in the reflection that you can see. It's back to front, but it's clear in the reflection. And this is a great reminder that it's not until we reflect on our experiences that perhaps we see life for what it truly is. I think as a society, we are so out of touch with our lives that we reflect an image to those around us that doesn't necessarily reflect our heart. When we look in the mirror, is it an accurate image that's reflected back to you? Take a look at this. I think sometimes this is what it might be for us. The way we interpret things isn't always accurate. We can tell ourselves the wrong story. We live in the world of the selfie, and the image that we reflect to others is very carefully curated. Google reports that its Android devices take 93 million selfies per, what do you think? Day, absolutely. And in one poll, 18 to 24-year-olds reported that every third photo they took is a selfie. And God says, give careful thought to your ways. It is wise, especially as we come to the close of a year, to reflect and pay honest attention on how we have lived our lives in the year that was, and to ask ourselves some great questions to help us honestly unpack the reality of how our lives are shaping up. If we don't do this, the danger is that we continue to live a life that is drifting away from God. One that is not necessarily a real reflection of who we would like to be. And it's often disconnected with our souls. So, just as the Lord graciously intervened in the lives of these people in the book of Haggai, we also have the opportunity to allow His intervention in our life as well. God invites us to give careful thought to our ways too. So today, we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to take the opportunity to reflect, to pay attention, to the public road we are walking and also to our private world within. And as we do, we will become more aware of how God is working in our lives. So questions are a great way to aid reflecting, and the power of a good question is gold. So I have some keys, some questions for you today that the helpers are just going to pass out. They're on a sheet of paper. And if you need a pencil to go with it, just let them know. If you've got a pen, that's great. But the key is to answer them honestly, to give an accurate reflection. So I want you to jot down some answers. And when you get home, you can spend some more time on these. So I've got them up on the screen as well. So if you're watching online today, you can take a look at the questions up on the screen. I'll just read them through for you while the helpers are handing them out. The first one says, what am I most grateful for this year? What or who brought me joy? And that's always a great place to start, is it? Because we can miss all of the blessings that we have in our life. But if we start to notice them, if we actually develop this as a practice of our lives, we start to see God's working in our lives. Question two says, what has been the most difficult part about this year? What's been your plan for coping with that, and how is it working for you? Question three, what has your devotion to God looked like this year? Do you feel that you have grown in your love and devotion to Him, stayed the same, or drifted away from Him? Question four, how have you found ways to enjoy true fellowship with others this year? How have you found ways? Question five, are you aware of resentments, bitterness, anger that you are holding on to from the events of this year? Is there an invitation to let go, forgive, release it or them to God? Question six, are you aware of the ways God has been inviting you into relationship with Him this year, guiding your steps or opening a way for you this year? So if you've got the sheet in front of you, it's the slide with the little picture on it. And I want you to take a few moments. We're going to play some beautiful reflective music. Now, you could spend hours with this. We're not going to spend hours today. I'm just going to give you a few minutes, but I really encourage you to then take it home and spend some more time with it. But please make sure you at least do question one today. we could probably spend hours here and you would still not finish. So I recognize that this is not long enough for you to do all the questions, but I really encourage you to take those home for you. But I hope that you have at least done question one. What am I most grateful for this year, and who or what brought me joy? And I thought it would be really nice to just share some of those answers and just listen to some of the blessings that God has done in our lives this year. So Ben's got a microphone and he's roving mic. I'm giving him all the jobs today. Sorry, Ben. But just pop your hand up if you've recognized a blessing in your life, something that you've been really grateful for. Even though this has been a challenging year, is there something that you're grateful for? There's Jan there. Ben, in the middle. Thanks, Jan.
I think particularly family, as everyone has, is you just want to spend more time with them and realize that without the family, it's tough, or really good friends. We've got a lot of good friends as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been encouraged by that this year.
Oh, yes, of course. When they announced that we were going to be going into lockdowns, myself as a person who just loves my friends and family, I was concerned how that was going to how that would be for me. But the one thing that I did was I hopped online to Kogan.com and I ordered a fire pit. And there's been several people in this church who've been, when they announced that we were allowed to have two visitors to your home, that was the one thing that brought me so much joy, that we were able to have different people who were able to come over and enjoy a meal with us and have campfires. And that brought me a lot of joy in a time that was very quiet. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks, Belinda.
One of the things that's been pretty powerful for me this year is my son, who was involved in drugs and numerous other things, has come to the Lord in a miraculous way.
That's wonderful, really, yeah. Thank you, it's beautiful. Trish is down the front here, Ben. Oh, Maureen.
I've been most grateful that I was able to use technology. I hadn't realised all this time I've been fighting against learning how to work computer phones, iPhones particularly, and it just was so great to be able to FaceTime someone.
Yeah.
And know that I wasn't alone anymore.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
I haven't spent a lot of time with people this year for various reasons apart from COVID, but when we were allowed to go back into people's homes, the thing that I have both grown from, benefited from, enjoyed, has been our small KYB groups. It's just been great getting around a table with just six people, getting to know them better and sharing from the heart. It's been just great. And I don't know whether I want KYB back in there.
Beautiful. Thanks, Tricia. A few more down the back there, Ben. Come on, hurry up.
I've just moved here from the Sunshine Coast, and one of the greatest joys I've had was that just 14 hours after the house went on the market, I saw the house that was my perfect new home. So it was very special for me.
Oh, beautiful. That's wonderful. Anyone else before we wrap up?
As a newcomer to the church, I'm really... As a non-believer, I'm really, really trying hard to find God and fellowship with all these beautiful people.
Thank you, Betty. Thank you so much, everyone. I think once you start thinking and start looking, you start to recognize how many blessings that you have in your life. So thank you so much for sharing those today. And I encourage you to spend some more time with those questions. Some of them you have to dig quite deep within yourself to answer. And perhaps there's someone who you trust, who you feel safe with, that you can share those answers with, someone who knows you well. The thing that is most hopeful in the story of Haggai is that the people listened to God. In verse 12, it says, "Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai. because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. They gave careful thought to how they were living. They firstly reflected, and then the next R word is repent. They changed their ways. They repented because they feared the Lord. Sometimes we like to skip this part, but when things come to our attention that are areas where we have been living for ourselves instead of God, where we have drifted away from Him, God invites us to repent so that our relationship with Him can be restored. Repentance means to take a 180 degree turn from going my way and choosing to turn and go the other way, to God's way. We don't just repent when we make our initial decision to follow Christ, but we continue to repent. Remember, we drift away from God. So whenever we recognize that we have done things that are against God or away from God, God invites us to that place of repentance. And He does that over and over and over again. That is grace. That's grace in a nutshell. Repentance is an intentional choice on our behalf. It's our choice to turn to God's ways instead of our own. And let's face it, it is hard because it requires humility. It means that you admit that you are not the source of your answer to all your problems. You say that God is in control and His plan is better. He has a better plan than anything that you can come up with. We're going to take some time to just have a moment to sit in that repentance sphere this morning. We're going to take some communion. Communion gives us an opportunity to examine ourselves, to give careful thought to our ways, and to repent before God. As we reflect on what Jesus has done for us on the cross, He invites us to repent of ways where we have drifted away from Him and to choose once again to restore relationship with Him. The helpers are going to come and they're going to serve you communion this morning. So there'll be two cups, one inside the other. One has a little cracker and one has the juice. The cracker represents the body of Christ, and the juice, of course, represents His blood, the forgiveness for our sins. And I want you this morning to just take both in your own time. We're not going to drink the cup together, so just when you feel ready, spend some time with God. We'll play some quiet music and just spend some time reflecting and repenting and just coming for Him to Him today. Let's just pray before the helpers hand it out. Dear Lord, we just thank You that You are a God of grace. No matter how many times we've messed up, You continue to invite us back into relationship with You. And Lord, we recognize there are ways that we live that are not of You. There are things that we say, actions that we do that are against who You are and against Your heart. Lord, I pray that as we sit with You this morning in this quiet space, as we reflect on who we are and how we live, that You would bring to mind ways where we are not walking according to Your word. And I pray this morning that as we come in repentance to You, that as we come in that posture, we know that You come towards us with open arms, like arms on the cross, freely forgiving us our sins and inviting us into communion with You. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the helpers will hand out communion. Just take a moment, take them both in your own time this morning. Thank you. The helpers will just come and collect your cups. Thank you. So we've reflected. The second one was repent. And number three this morning is resolve. Resolve to live differently. To make New Year's resolutions, which is where the word resolve comes from, is quite common for us to do. A lot of people do it. And I don't know about you, but often there's the same things that I make resolutions about every year. Maybe just with some slight tweaks each year, you know, lose weight, get fitter, clean out my cupboards, you know, it's the same thing every year. But to resolve means to decide firmly on a course of action. And there is strength in that word. And for the people listening to Haggai, they reflected, they repented, and then they resolved to obey God. In verse 13, it says, "Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord." And I love that reminder that we are not on our own in this. God is with us. As we choose to obey God, to turn our life intentionally toward Him, He is with us in the process. We are not on our own. He provides the strength and the will to do it. In verse 14, it says, "So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month." Their inward resolution was evident to everyone because they began to rebuild the temple. As they resolved in their hearts, it was reflected in how they lived their lives. So the invitation is there for all of us to resolve to obey God in our life and live lives that become an authentic reflection of our hearts. And in so doing, it will be evident to all. Again, questions are great to really clarify how we are going to resolve to live. So as you move forward into the new year, on the other side of your sheet, there are 10 questions that you can take away with you. The first one says this: what's one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? And for some of you, that's probably a new concept to think that I can enjoy God. So you might need some help with even working out what that could be, but that's what we're here for next year. So what's one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? What's the most humanly impossible thing you will ask God to do for you this year? I'm talking about next year. So sometimes we need to pray fervently for things that we know we can't give ourselves, that are beyond our capabilities, and that's what we need to pray for to God. Number three, what's the single most important thing you could do to improve the quality of your family life this year? That's an important one. Number four, in which spiritual discipline do you want most to make progress this year, and what will you do about it? We're going to look more deeply on the spiritual disciplines next year, but they are things that we do to help us to connect with God. Number five, what is the single biggest time waster in your life, and what will you do about it this year? Gosh, that's a challenge, isn't it? Number six, if we go on to the next page, what is the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? So what is the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? Because we are the church together. Number seven, for whose salvation will you pray most fervently this year? Who is going to be on your list of people that you are going to be praying for? Number eight, what's the most important way you will, by God's grace, try to make this year different from last year? Number nine, what one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? And lastly, what single thing that you plan to do this year will matter most in 10 years or in eternity? So there's some different ways of looking at resolutions. Instead of just our outer selves of, you know, losing weight, getting fit, looking at the inner life and how we are going to craft our life and how we're going to live. These are some great questions there, and I encourage you to create some space over the next few days to sit with this and make some resolutions that aren't just about the outer things, but more about what's happening to your character and how you're shaping your inner life. And just as the people listened to God through Haggai, and they reflected, they repented, and resolved to do the work the Lord had entrusted to them, we have the invitation to do that in our lives as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you interrupt our lives and you say to us, give careful thought to your ways. Lord, thank you for the interruptions that stop us drifting away from you, that help us to pay attention to who you are and to what you have for us. I pray in this year ahead, no matter what it holds, whether it's filled with blessings or challenges or both, I pray that you will be our focus, that we will resolve to live for you in every moment, for us individually and for us as a church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.